In a world of conflicting values, when questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church.
Thanks for joining us today, everybody, for the Word for Life. Nice to have you back. Jack Gardner here, Word for Life producer, along with lead pastor Ken Keltner. And also, we have Pastor Greg Huffman again. And nice to see you guys, as always. And
good to see you, Jack, and Pastor Greg. Glad to have you.
Amen.
And you're going to jump in here with us in Joshua. I mean, I'm sure, I'm not telling how many times you preached through Joshua in your almost 50 years of ministry. And we've been studying it and not getting too far along, are we, Jack?
We're moving along at a certain pace.
Yeah, a snail's pace.
Key word was certain.
Right.
So we're going to try to wrap up chapter 6 and then get into chapter 7. Jack, thank you. I appreciate you and all your work to get the broadcast out. And again, we're thankful for Jim Schneider and all those at VCY that God used in establishing and keeping this station going.
Well, appreciate you guys as well. We do want to remind you, Missions Conference coming up in October on the 12th through the 16th. That'll be coming up here shortly at Brookside. And then also Mike Gendron, who has got a gospel evangelism ministry geared towards Catholics, is coming up November the 12th and the 13th.
Yeah, it'll be a Saturday time, probably more morning, and then Sunday he'll preach both services, and then in the evening service he'll also do some teaching and preaching. So,
and his evangelism is geared towards navigating the
because he was a devout Catholic, and God brought him to salvation through Christ alone, and he wants to help people with that. He has a book entitled Preparing for Eternity, and I tell you, when I started reading that book, I couldn't put it down. A great book. So I'm sure he'll have some of those available here, too. So hope that you'll be able to join us.
Well, we're finishing up Joshua 6.
Yeah, and, you know, if you have been with us, you know it's a chapter of faith. I mean, first of all, there had to be that commitment of faith that, if you remember, as they crossed the Jordan River, I mean, Jericho would be their first big battle. And, man, you look at the doubled wall fortress and the thickness of those walls, and they had to believe God said he was going to give us this land. And, you know, you think about it many times, Pastor Greg, our greatest difficulty in our lives is admitting that an obstacle is way too big for us.
How true that is.
When we think we can pull up the bootstraps buckle everything on and we can go get after it. Then on top of that, when they heard what the plan was, there had to be an obedience, to faith, that they're going to have to be trusting God to follow his instructions and walk around that city.
And God has specifically said, when you walk around the city, not a word can be spoken. Now, can you imagine the doubts and fears and criticism like, this is stupid, what in the world would, but not a word could be spoken.
And you look at the culture, too, of the Canaanites as they're going. I mean, just wickedness abound.
Yeah.
Morally, ethically, all of it. And I was thinking, if you can't learn to control your tongue, you'll never learn to control your body.
Right. Well, isn't that the way why the Bible calls it a wildfire? Or
world of iniquity. Yeah,
right.
The tongue is a fire.
Oh.
And, man, it can wreak havoc in families and churches, and we see it in our government,
How true that is.
He said, she said, who said, and everybody has an opinion.
And what did God say?
You don't hear that very often.
No. I mean, that's what we need to hear.
Yeah. And then in verses 10 and 11 of chapter 6, the discipline of faith that actually 13 times they would walk around that city. And as you mentioned, Pastor Greg, silent. I mean, they had to look foolish to those standing on the walls atop Jericho. But yet we know from what Rahab told the spies, we are petrified.
Right.
We are fearful.
Hmm.
Not of you necessarily, but of your God. And
well, they had seen the river part right beside the city, and the nation of Israel cross on dry ground,
mm-hmm.
and they're going, un momento, por favor, what in the world is going on?
Yeah. You know, and one of our greatest difficulties today is just to be quiet and let God work.
Has it come to that?
And let's not tell God what to do.
And we even mentioned last week, I think, the silence is submission.
Oh, absolutely. They had to submit to what God wanted them to do. Here is what he wants to say. I wonder for you, what is it God is wanting you to do? And are you willing to submit? Because that's the biggest issue.
Right.
People have trouble submitting or to submit to one another in the fear of the Lord. The headship of the church, you got the headship of the home. I mean, God put it all in place of how it was supposed to work. And yet, you have people don't want to submit to their bosses. You have people wives that don't want to submit to their husbands. You got kids that don't want to submit to their parents
because they've seen the wife not submitting to the dad.
Yeah,
and so obviously that mother is training her children how not to submit to authority.
And it's devastating, and we see it today. Let's just pick up verses 12-16 of Joshua chapter 6. This patience of faith. You know, and that, you know, that is an issue, because impatience is a besetting sin of many people. We want it and we want it now. But the question would be, really, had the Israelites learned to die to self, could they now put into practice following God? It's been estimated that as they started to walk around that city, that the children of Israel, it took them at least 2 hours for them to leave camp, walk around the city, and get back to camp. You know, okay. I've been over there. It wasn't, you know, they think it was probably 7 to 10 acres, the whole city itself. So I was shocked when we were over there. They were trying to resurrect this old Jericho. And I remember my comment to Kathy was, man, it wasn't, I was just thinking it was some city like Nineveh or something, you know, and it wasn't that way at all. And again, I think you mentioned it earlier, in a broadcast or two, the long looks the enemy had on their high walls as these people just walked around the city not making any noise. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 says, for us to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. You know, God is never in a hurry, and his timing is always perfect. And part of the fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering, that I am patient, that I am long-fused, not just with people, but that I'm patient with what God's doing in my life. And, I mean, that's never easy.
I remember when I was still on staff, we had the Saturday morning breakfast with the men, and I was assigned to speak on long-suffering. And so all the men came for the breakfast, and then we started passing out the outlines of what I would teach, and one of the men came up to me and said, long-suffering? Man, can you just speak on short-suffering?
Yeah, exactly. You know, you get into verses 17 and 19, you see the whole test of faith, because Joshua is going to remember Rahab. Remember, she is one of only two women mentioned in that great faith chapter in Hebrews 11. As she, her faith was evident that she believed in the God of Israel. She took the spies, she hid them, she put her life on the line. But you think about it, all this time, she's not knowing when it's going to happen, but she put that scarlet thread out right after she let the spies out of her home.
She didn't take long to lower it, did she?
No. And she's sitting there, and she's got her family in her place, and surrounded by the power of the Amorite king, you know, and on the basis of the promises that she had been given, she felt safe. That God would stay true to his word. And, you know, and so she's going to experience safety in the midst of judgment. And Joshua in 17, 18, 19 emphasizes the obedience to God's commands and just how crucial this will appear in this whole aspect of Joshua telling the people when those walls fall. And you were talking between broadcasts here how they fell.
They fell in the exact opposite direction of what it would have been like if they had been conquered. If the walls had fallen in, it would have been a perfect picture of, yeah, Israel has attacked the walls so much that they've fallen in. Instead, the walls have fallen outward.
Mm.
And so consequently, everybody in the entire area of the Promised Land would hear the story and would say, how in the world did the walls fall outward? Obviously, it was not something that those Israelites did in battle, so it had to be their God.
Mm. And God did let them know, you know, usually when you look at Deuteronomy chapter 20:14, the soldiers ordinarily would share in the spoils of the war, but not here at Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
For everything there, God said, it belongs to me. And that's going to be critical when we get to chapter 7. And they have this shout of faith, and finally they can just let it rip in verses 20 to 26. And this is where we see God working and the people seeing it all come together and the power of God when, as you mentioned, those walls fell outward and they were able to go in. You know, you think of that morning. It might have been 2 or 3 in the morning when they things started to stir around the camp of Israel. And no doubt, if somebody was making a movie of Joshua chapter 6, they would shoot extensive scenes of the actual assault of the city. You know, they would probably show the hand-to-hand combat, you know, going on with people and so on. But it's interesting that our writer here in Joshua 6 has no such interest, nor does he really care about the bravado of the Israelite warriors. He only gives a brief mention, and almost comes across like a matter-of-fact report of the triumph itself. 1.5 verses, and the walls go out, and they end up coming in, and where Rahab's house was, again, she was protected through all of that. And, you know, if you're joining us for the first time in this study of Joshua, this section of the passage might disturb some people that God commanded every living thing in Jericho to be killed. But if we were put ourselves back in that 13th century, we might see it differently, for that Canaanite culture was a snake pit of child sacrifice, sacred prostitution, practices ruthlessly devoted to using the most innocent and vulnerable members of the community, babies and virgins, to manipulate the gods of their game. What a sad predicament. And God had given them opportunities to come to Him, and they didn't do it. Well, friends, I hope you'll join us again. And let me just close with a quote from G. Campbell Morgan. He said that God is perpetually at war with sin, and that is the whole explanation of the extermination of the Canaanite people. They had been given ample time. God's giving us ample time today. May we listen to the voice of God and know His Word. Well, I trust you have a great day, and may the Lord bless you.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer, or would like information on the Word for Life, would like to donate to help continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org. Or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.